Had our service this morning, you've noticed kind of a dual theme. Yes, we are trying to honor our country today and honor those who have served our nation. But more importantly, we are trying to honor God, who has blessed us with these blessings. Just want you to notice up front, we have the flags, the American flag and the Christian flag. But in the center, the prominent thing is the cross of Christ. So you've seen it in the songs that we've sung, the videos that we played. We want to focus on our Lord God. We're thankful for our country. We're thankful for our country, but we don't worship our country. We worship God. We are dual citizens, if you will. We are citizens of the United States of America, but we're also citizens of heaven, part of the great kingdom of God, which is far more important than any other citizenship. The scripture that Pastor Matt just read, Psalm 33, mentions that verse that's very familiar. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we know throughout the years that we definitely have been blessed as a nation. It's not hard to see God has blessed us as a nation. Not that we have been perfect as a nation, but we have seen God has blessed. The United States of America has never been a nation that was made up of entirely Christians, but it was founded on scriptural foundation. God blessed us and has blessed us through the years. So we come to a time in our history where a lot of what's going on in our nation, we would freely admit that God cannot be pleased with. He can't be pleased with everything that's going on in our nation right now. And so, are we still blessed? I noticed one of the songs that we sang talked about may His grace shine on us, you know, His grace. We need His grace. We need this amazing grace of God because there is a lot of problems in our nation right now. So the question is, what do you do when your nation is not the nation that you really want it to be, not going the direction you maybe want it to go? How do we respond? And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that gives a story of three young Hebrew men that found themselves in a situation where they were actually exiles. The people of Israel had been defeated by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians took a bunch of their people home and made them into slaves. And these three men were slaves. They were exiles in this nation of Babylon. And yet they, even though they were surrounded by a different culture, a different language, a different religion, everything was different, they were faithful to God during that time. And I think in a way we can relate with them, because in a way it kind of feels like we are exiles. We don't seem to go with the flow of everything that's going on in our country. We think differently than a lot of people as followers of Jesus, and kind of like exiles, if you will, in our own nation. So what do we do? So we're going to look in Daniel chapter 3 is where we're going in our Bibles. Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to pick up the reading here in this story. Let me just set the story up here, okay? In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar is the powerful ruler of Babylon. Conquered many peoples, including the Jews, and brought them into his country and made them slaves. King Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself, and so he wanted people to worship him. So he built a huge statue, and he told everybody, as soon as the band plays the songs, you got to bow down and worship the statue. If you don't, you die. I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And he meant it. Well, these three Hebrew men, part of this crowd, didn't bow down. And here we pick up the story in Daniel chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 12. And I know you just stood, but stand again. You need your exercise. That's a good part of life, right? We're going to pick the story up in verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you've sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you've set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, "Certainly, king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the royal's advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Lord, thanks for your word and this story in your word of 3 men who took a stand for you in very trying situations. I pray, Lord, that you'll use this story to speak to our own hearts today. We open up our hearts and minds to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. You may be seated. These men, exiles, faced some temptations. They really did. They faced some real temptations. First, they were tempted to compromise their faith in God. After all, they're in a foreign land. They've been conquered. Why not just blend in? Why not just go with the crowd? Go with the flow. Don't cause any trouble. Just go along with what was going on. Just bow down to that gold image. What difference does it make? But they remembered the command of God, who said, "You'll have no other gods before me." These 3 Hebrew men, despite the convenient option of compromise, chose not to compromise their faith at all. They wouldn't budge 1 inch. And I think in our culture today in America, we're faced with a lot of opportunities to compromise our faith. Our culture is very accepting of all other faiths and says, you know, it doesn't really matter. All faiths lead to God, doesn't matter. Not true, but that's what a lot of people say in our world. In our nation, in our culture today, there's pressure on us to accept immorality as morality. Sin is celebrated in our culture in many places. It's really sad when a professional athlete is open about his faith in Jesus and is ridiculed and mocked, And another comes out with the announcement they've switched genders and they're celebrated and honored. There's something wrong with that. The pressure is on us to accept what is the popular opinion, whatever the majority says, to go along with the crowd. Don't cause any trouble, just blend in. Compromise. The pressure is on us to bow down to the idols of money, success, power, popular opinion, political correctness. But we must not bow down to any of these false idols. They were also tempted to save their positions of authority. These guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were royal officials. They had good jobs. They had high-paying government jobs. Even though they were exiles in Babylon, they were living a pretty good life. I mean, they had everything they needed. They made good money. They had a place to live. They had a place to food to eat. They had it pretty good, even though they were exiles. To stand up to this king mean that's all threatened. It's all threatened. Likely to lose everything that made their life manageable. For us, we must make sure we never try to blend in and conform to what is not true to the Word of God in order just to keep our job or to keep our place at our job, to advance in our job, to keep our position, to make more money. We need to be careful. We don't give in to that temptation. They were also tempted to save their lives. I mean, these guys knew that this king was liable to follow through on this thing. If you don't bow down, you're going to go into the fiery furnace. He had a reputation. He was ruthless. He's going to do it. They knew that. But they were willing to die for God rather than give in and conform to the pattern of the world. Now, thankfully, we're not in that kind of place in our country. But we have brothers and sisters around the world that live in countries where this is the true thing. If they stand up for God, they would very likely lose their lives. And people do it every day. Let's look at the testimony of these three men. They publicly declared their faith in God. Can you picture the scene? A huge crowd of people. I don't know how many. There's a lot of people there, and the band plays. Everybody's supposed to bow down. Everybody bows down except three very conspicuous Hebrew men. I mean, you can't hide. Everybody's down on the ground except three guys. It's like they're shouting to the world, "We're not doing it. Here we are," declaring very publicly their faith in God. For us, in our culture that we live in America right now, where being a follower of Jesus is getting less and less accepted, less and less acceptable to many people, we must continue to let our faith in God be known. Did you know there's no such thing as a secret disciple? Can't be a secret disciple. Jesus said these words. He said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me now before men will be disowned before the angels of God." We need to stand up for God. Let our faith be known. We live in a world that there's a lot of darkness, but we are to be the light of the world. You know, like the little kids song that they sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." We need to let our light shine. When we do this, when we go into this dark culture and let our light shine, make sure you understand we do not stand up for God in an attitude of anger. God is a God of love. He actually loves these people that are driving us crazy. He does. And we can't go out there with this attitude of anger for people that we disagree with. We need to have an attitude of love. God loves them. God says in his word, Jesus said, you're actually supposed to love your enemies. Boy, he could use that. Some people in the story here obviously reported to the king what was very obvious, that these three men didn't bow down to the idol. And they were asked in before the king to tell their story. And we see that they were not afraid of the judgment of men. The king threatened them. He says, "Guys, I'm going to give you another chance." Why would he give them another chance? He's going to give them another chance. "I'm going to let the band play. You're going to bow down. And their response is classic. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us and rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he doesn't do this, we're not bowing down to your stupid idol. Now, that's my paraphrase. Even if he doesn't rescue us, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're not caving into this pressure. Amazing. If you notice in the story, the contrast between the calm response of these Hebrew men and the rage of this king. Their fear was rightly placed in a fear of God. They were not afraid of men. Now the king does have no fear of God. One of the things that we face sometimes in our country is the fear of what people are going to think. What do people think about us? What are people going to say to us? How are people going to respond to us if we stand up for God? And we need to overcome that. We need to not be afraid of what people will say or do or think. We need to be concerned about what God thinks and seek to please him. Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he says, I know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. We need to stand for God without being frightened. Standing again in the love of God, the truth of God. These guys had faith in the power of God. They knew that God could save them. They didn't know if he would, but they knew he could. The king challenged them with his threat. You notice it says, what God will be able to save you from my hand? If you read in the scripture, that's a God as a small g. What God? King Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man in the world at that time. But he's no match for the Lord God Almighty. No match. They knew God could take care of this. Isaiah 26 says, trust in the Lord forever. The Lord is the rock eternal. As we take our stand for God in our country, we must always trust in the power of God. We are not alone. We serve within the power of God. In the early days of the church, when the church was started in the book of Acts, I mean, they were persecuted, they were hounded, they were thrown into jail, they were killed, and the church just exploded. I don't know what's going to happen in our nation in the years to come. We don't know for sure. But I know that, I really believe, there's going to be a great harvest of souls coming to Jesus Christ. And I know that, I think that, because the church seems to prosper during tough times. When there's some opposition, when there's some persecution, somehow it shakes us out of our lukewarmness and gets us to realize we got things to do. This is an important time, sharing Christ with our world. These men submitted to the will of God. They said, if God can rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing down to the statue. You see, they didn't know for sure God was going to rescue them. They didn't know if it was God's will. God doesn't rescue everybody in this situation. We know that there's people that are going to be martyred today in our world for their faith in Christ. And we don't know exactly how God does all this. But in this case, he rescued these men. But the men didn't know that when they made this decision. They didn't know for sure if it was God's will, but they submitted to the will of God. They gave their life to God, if you will. We had a lot of people that have been in the military stand up here today. And when they sign up in the military, I've never served in the military, but I know that when they sign up, they have to sign a document and agree to be obedient. When the Army tells you to go somewhere, or the Navy or Air Force or Marines, wherever it is, you go. There's no argument, there's no discussion. You obey, you go. That really needs to be the way it is with us, with our relationship with God. Totally surrender, totally God's. You just tell me, God, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours, I'll do it. Submitted to the will of God. Like Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, the king in this story is not very thrilled with these three men. He's angry. He's out of his mind angry. How dare they oppose him? So he has the furnace heated seven times hotter than normal, which makes absolutely no sense at all. Do you notice sometimes when you stand up for God and someone doesn't like what you're saying, that sometimes they just get irrational? Their response seems doesn't seem to fit what you just said. They get so angry and so upset. And that's what this guy did. He got so angry and so upset, he just lost it. Heat the furnace seven times hotter. And the three men that are thrown in, the soldiers die that did this. Throw them in because it's so hot. They fall into the furnace and the king watches. And I would love to see his look on the face right now, because he sees movement in the fire. Not three men, four men walking around in the fire. Don't you love that picture? Their triumph. These men were not dead, they were alive, walking around in the fire. I wonder what that would have felt like. I just wonder. Not that I want to try it out, but walking around in a fire without it touching you at all. These men had faith in the power of God. They were experiencing the power of God. They enjoyed freedom in their trials. They were in the fire, but they had freedom in the fire. They were saved not from the fire, but in the fire. They had freedom. God had been faithful and rescued them. And I know that I've heard stories from people I've talked to that live in other parts of the world that have been persecuted for their faith, that have been beaten for their faith. And they tell me that they experience freedom in their time of pain. An amazing freedom from God. God's presence was so real with them and helped them. Yeah, it still didn't feel good, but they experienced this freedom of God. When we stand with God, stand for God, we can enjoy freedom. They also experienced God's presence. Nebuchadnezzar noticed when he looked in that this fourth person didn't look normal, didn't look like the other. He said it looked like one of the sons of the gods. There was something different about this fourth person. Now, this appears to be, this is going to sound strange, but it appears to be one of those times in the Old Testament where Jesus shows up in person, shows up walking with them in the fire. These three men experienced the presence of God with them in their trials. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, this was actually fulfilled in the lives of these men, just as the scripture said for them. We can always count on the presence of God with us. As we stand for him, we are never alone. These men brought glory to God. The king asked them to come out. Obviously, he's not going to go in and get them. He's not going to get close. Come out. And they came out. Just the three came out. And their clothes are not burned. There's no hair singed. They don't even smell like smoke. It's just a miracle. Everybody is looking at them. And the king goes nuts. This guy is on quite a pendulum here. And he does this amazing praise to God. He praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Notice that the king is not impressed with the men. He's impressed with God. He's impressed with God. These men brought glory to God. They weren't trying to get attention to themselves. They were trying to let God be glorified, and God was glorified through this. It's amazing. He doesn't say, you know, that people all over the world need to honor these three men. They need to honor God, their God. What they did brought glory to God. So when we stand up for God, again, we're not trying to get attention for us. We're not trying to get people to think how great we are or whatever. We're trying to get them to see how great God is, to bring glory to God. They were given new opportunities for influence. In response, these men who were thrown into the fiery furnace that should have killed them and didn't, they were promoted. Isn't that amazing? We don't know the rest of the story. The Bible doesn't tell us the rest of the story, but God worked in and through these lives all the time that they were in Babylon, these men who stood for God and continued to stand for God. As we stand for God in our nation, which desperately needs us to do this, standing for God, we just need to be faithful servants of God and leave the results in His hands. You might not know how your influence is used. Trust God. Be faithful. Serve God. Stand for God. You can make a difference. I want to close with this story. True story. Goes back to the 5th century. A man named Telemachus. He was an Asian monk living in a little remote village. Spent most of his time in prayer and tending his garden. One day he thought he heard the voice of God telling him to go to Rome. So he began the long, long journey to go to Rome. When he got to Rome, it was a time of a festival, and they were celebrating and triumphed over the Goths. He followed the crowd into the Colosseum, and there in the midst of this great crowd, he saw gladiators come forth and stand before the emperor and say, "We who are about to die salute you." He realized they were going to fight to the death for the entertainment of the crowd. He cried, "In the name of Christ, stop." His voice wasn't heard in the loud Colosseum. As the games began, he made his way down through the crowd and climbed over the wall and dropped into the floor of the arena. Suddenly, the crowd saw this scrawny little figure making his way out to the gladiators, saying over and over again, "In the name of Christ, stop." They thought it was part of the entertainment, and they were amused at first. And then when they realized it wasn't, they grew belligerent and angry. As he was pleading with the gladiators, "In the name of Christ, stop," one of them plunged his sword into his body, and he fell to the sand of the arena. In death, his last words were, "In the name of Christ, stop." And suddenly a strange thing happened. The gladiator stood looking at the tiny form laying in the sand, and silence fell over the Colosseum. Then someone in the upper tiers, an individual, made his way to the exit and left, and others began to follow. And in the dead silence, everyone left the Colosseum. That was the last battle to death between gladiators in the Roman Colosseum. Never again did men kill each other for the entertainment of the crowd. One man made a difference, saying in the name of Christ, stop. As we live faithfully for God and take our stand for God in our world, God can use you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful today for the example of these three men in the scripture. They're a good example to us. They stood for you. They did not compromise their faith. They kept their faith in you despite great opposition and great threat and great harm to them. And Father, they are a good example to us. And my prayer is that you would help us to be those kind of people. To be people that would not give in one inch to compromise with our world that has rejected you, but will stay true to you, keep our faith rooted in you and in the truth of your word, and that we won't give in, we won't stop, we'll keep sharing the truth of Jesus with our world, we'll keep living the life of a follower of Jesus, and we'll leave the results in your hands. Lord, we don't know all about what's going to happen in our country in the days to come, only you know that. But I do know that we can make a difference through our witness for you and the lives that we live. In the lives of people, we can make a difference for you, for your glory and your honor. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do so. Thank you for this amazing privilege and the amazing opportunity we have to represent you, the Lord God Almighty, and to be a part of your amazing eternal family. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And thanks. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming to church today. God bless you. Hopefully you're going to stay for the dinner. And we'll see you there if you come and stay. Thank you.